You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
La, 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 high, high, I wanna get high. Never give it up if you give it a try.
People turn to artificial highs when they really want natural highs.
You with your grass, mom and dad with their booze.
Alcohol and drugs become crutches for people who can't achieve closeness with others.
I was so unhappy, like I felt so unworthy, you know.
And at that time I was having problems with my family.
I was looking for love somewhere, I wasn't getting it anywhere.
I tried to commit suicide.
Wait a minute, stop.
Weed, grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo. Chronic, Ace, Lobo, Loco, Love Boat, Bud, Buddha, Blunt, Pot, Pat, Pin, Chiba, Chiba, 420, and Hashish, or Hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Marijuana. Do it, man.
Welcome. Welcome to Marijuana Media, Auckland's premier corner for talking about the dagweed and the revolution that is getting it legal for everybody.
Right on.
John is frantically in the background here. He has a cute little brown piece of paper and he's trying to get hold of Gloria Swarbrick. Obviously, busy, busy lady at the moment. You caught up with her yesterday, didn't you, Chris?
Yes, that was very good. Finally got to meet Chloe, one of my my heroes, my current heroes.
She's picking up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And gave an amazing speech yesterday in support of the bill.
All right, I think John's actually got her on the phone.
All right.
Right now. Are you there, Chloe?
Kia ora, I am. How are you guys doing?
Hey, welcome back to BFM.
Oh, mate, glad to be here. Through the magic of the telephone, invented, you know, some 100 years ago or something.
Still magic.
Now, Chloe, there's four of us on the phone. Myself, John, to my left, Big Hungry, and to my right, Chris Fowley, the leader of Normal.
Hey, Chloe.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for coming down last night.
Can you hear everyone clearly?
I think so.
Okay.
Just checking.
I guess we talk about what was going on yesterday. How come you were down there, Chris? And what was going on? What was going on?
Oh, mate. Well, we've had two bills in front of Parliament this week.
Mm-hmm.
The government put up their one on Tuesday, and then Chloe's one was up yesterday. For anyone who hasn't heard, the government bill passed unanimously, which in itself is a phenomenal achievement, I think, and it just shows how far we have gone. Just think back a year ago, the kind of where we were at, and now we have a new government who wants to do things and has put up a bill right at the beginning of their legislative program, right? They actually fulfilled their 100-day promise in December when they introduced the bill.
Cool.
And for them to actually call back Parliament early and put the bill up right away, it really shows that this is a priority for them and they want to make it happen.
But so, Chloe, your bill not as popular for some reason.
I don't know about not as popular. It really depends how you read that. So, the government bill was a great, fantastic step in the right direction. And absolutely, to echo what Chris was saying there about how, I think that was Chris, about how it's fantastic that we have consensus in Parliament on the issue of needing to increase access to medicinal cannabis. But I think it's really important to note that the government bill does not immediately allow that increase of access to medicinal cannabis. So basically what it does in the short term is it'll create a criminal defence for people who have a terminal illness, who are found to be using cannabis. And so they will still have to get that cannabis illegally. They will not be able to, you know, legally grow it or nominate someone to grow it or otherwise. And the way that a criminal defence works is that they'd still actually have to go to the court.
They have to go to court, that's crazy.
Prove that they are sick. But the great things about the government's bill, and this is why obviously we as the Greens are happy to support it, is beyond the fact that obviously it's a step in the right direction. But the second part is that it will, over the next few years, look towards setting up a regulatory scheme to have that safe, affordable access to medicinal cannabis for patients and figure out what that scheme would look like, who would have access to it, and also set up local production in New Zealand, which I think is a long time overdue. Where my bill differs is that it recognised that the status quo at the moment is under the current scheme, so prior to any changes, there are a few people, it's approximated about 70 people in the whole country that at any given time can access medicinal cannabis products through the Ministry of Health, which is a scheme that was set up under Peter Dunn when he was Health Minister.
Okay.
And those medicinal cannabis products, those legal ones, cost an exorbitant amount of money to the tune of about $1,200 a month. So instead, what people are doing is they have to grow it, you know.
Right.
And there's this real misconception, which I kept coming up against again and again in the house last night. You know, this trope of people just like sitting on the couch and smoking a joint or whatever, and that, you know, it'd be prescribed for people who have a toothache or whatever. And yeah, you know, that's cool, whatever. That's going to be part of the referendum that we're holding in 2020. But I'm really worried about those two conversations becoming conflated, because there are people who can benefit from medicinal cannabis who are currently paralyzed, you know, having seizures, live in unbearable pain. So I just worry that there were a lot of politicians who saw those two issues and for some reason conflated them, because the conversation became very fixated on the idea of growing your own. So basically my bill allowed for people who have, you know, certified, prescribed, they have certifiable illnesses. Their doctor will prescribe them the ability to produce their own plant or nominate someone to produce their own plant. This isn't an anomaly. Internationally, there's actually Canada does this and has been doing it for 20 years. Canada, actually, 20 years ago, had a court case that found that it was a human right for someone to be able to grow their own cannabis where cost was prohibitive for them, you know, and they needed to access it for medicinal needs. So, yeah, like, Canada's way far ahead of us. Mm. But there's also 29 states in the US who've been doing this as well for ages. So we're well behind the eight ball. Even Australia's further ahead of us.
Oh.
So it's really gutting. Yeah, I know, Australia. it's just real gutting. And on top of all of that, coming back to that popularity point, 78% of New Zealanders are in agreement with the general premise of my bill that it should be affordable and accessible for people who need it, but only 39% of parliamentarians voted for it. So I just reckon my general takeaway from this whole debate is that Parliament is super out of step with you know, the everyday populace, that they are, you know, behaving really conservatively, really cautiously, because, you know, they for some reason think that it's going to hinder them from getting re-elected. What this shows to me is that instead it should be a call to action for everybody who cares about this issue to get involved in politics, because it's not something that happens every 3 years. Every day in that house, people are making decisions about your life.
Now, what's the next step for you after yesterday? What do you do? Do you go back to the drawing board and start from scratch again? Or
it's a pretty massive one, eh? I mean, obviously, you'll probably be aware that there's 8 Green MPs, so all of us have pretty weighty responsibilities. I myself have, you know, 8 portfolios, select committee, and tons of other stuff going on in terms of constituency work. But when it comes to this bill, I think that it's really crucial. Obviously, my bill is now, unfortunately, dead in the water. But the government's bill, people can make submissions to it at select committee, bearing in mind the kind of general purpose and thrust of my bill, which is one of those really weird kind of vagaries around Parliament. So that means that we can try and broaden that scope substantially. I don't think we'll be able to get it as broad as if both my bill and the government bill went before select committee. But I'm currently, you know, doing everything that I can to figure out what our kind of plan of action should be. But I think that as many people as possible should be involved in this, you know, and have been involved in this as well. I felt really weird about the praise that's been heaped on me. I don't think that praise belongs to me. It belongs to longtime campaigners, Chris included.
Right on.
There's been a lot of people involved in the campaign, you're right, and it's been a huge culmination and a massive effort. But Chloe, it was pretty clear to me watching the debates last night that, like what you were saying before, a lot of these MPs just seemed completely out of touch, and they were resorting to arguments that actually had nothing to do with medicinal cannabis. They were arguments against adult use, and it was really bringing out kind of prejudices and things. The Health Committee, though, is run by the National Party, right? They have the chair and the majority, and the government bill's now going to go there. here. And that seems to me that that's going to be a bit of an issue on the one hand, but we've had the National Party, certainly I think it was at least Nikki Kaye and Jonathan Coleman said in their speeches in Parliament, right, and you can't mislead the House, they said in Parliament that they would work constructively to widen access under that government bill. And they're now running the committee that the bill is going to. So do you think they will, and how can we best encourage them to actually do that?
So, you mentioned Jonathan Young, there's also Coleman and a few other Nats who are, I wouldn't say renowned for their progressive lean. it is kind of one of those weird situations where we've now got a whole bunch of people who, on the record, as you say, kind of critiqued my bill and the government's bill, but the general thrust of their reasoning was that they wanted to see access for people who are in chronic pain. So I think that it's really important that we bind them to that. Just to give you a little bit of an insight, I guess, into my whole strategy, knowing that I had this bill coming up actually with less time to prepare than I'd initially thought, given the advice that I'd had. I could have pursued the kind of regular parliamentarian route for campaign to try and secure the votes, which is, you know, talk to people in the elevators and the hallways, you know, go behind closed doors, shake hands, try and, do whatever to get those votes. And yeah, sure, you know, was participating in that because that's what this process looks like. But I thought it was way more crucial to take it to the public and I think actually campaign more democratically to ensure that all eyes were on parliamentarians when they had to make this decision and that they actually, you know, felt that way on their conscience. Because at the end of the day, no matter what happens in here, you know, behind closed doors, I can ask people if they're going to vote for it, they can guarantee that or whatever, and then walk into the House and do whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what actually I felt happened last night. There was a whole lot of petty politics at play. There was every chance that we could have got it across the line, but at the end of the day, people just, yeah, ended up resorting to, you know, the party line or whatever.
Playing safe, playing it safe. Yeah.
Yeah, coming back to that select committee stage, I just think that we have to really keep this in the public sphere, eh? Like, this whole process, like, Parliament belongs to people, and I think people really have to start taking ownership of that. Obviously, people are only going to start taking ownership of that when they feel like they're being heard, so it's this really kind of awful feedback loop, because Parliament isn't very inviting at the moment. So I think that it's going to take, you know, quite a few MPs, myself included, sticking our necks out and going, we're just going to give this everything that we've got to make this place as open, accessible and transparent as possible. Because that, again, means that not only are these guys on the record, record means nothing if nobody's, like, looking at it. We need to get as many eyes on it as possible to make sure that they're actually executing the will of the people.
Thank you. Thanks for keeping up the bloody good work, Chloe. Sounds like you're on the right track. We'll just keep chipping away at it up here, and we have people like you on our side in the right place anyway, so that's good.
Great. Cheers, man. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Take it easy out there.
Later. Bye-bye.
Oh, mate, Chloe Swarbrick there, all the way from downtown in Wellington. Took the time to have a chat to BFM. Lonely little old BFM. Good on her, eh?
Good on her.
Good on her.
That was awesome. And could I just say as well, it was so good to see everyone down there in terms of the campaigners that Chloe was referring to. Shane LeBrun, Rose Renton in particular, but there was a whole bunch of others. The public gallery was actually full. It was packed.
Right.
When Chloe gave her speech, there was a standing ovation, thunderous applause. This is apparently not allowed in Parliament. It never normally happens.
Right.
And the speaker ended up getting the police in there.
Wow.
Didn't explicitly say it, but it's just quietly these police appeared, kind of looking all threatening. Happening. And seriously, people were going to get arrested if they made another noise. So it's kind of a bit weird. Yeah.
So it's heavier than the tennis. You don't get like three warnings.
I mentioned it to Trevor Mallard afterwards. I was like, oh, you know, thanks for your patience and not like arresting anyone. And he was like, well, you know, I've been arrested in there before. And and that's true, right? But that was like punching Tal Henery on the nose. You know, it's kind of a bit different to just giving someone an applause. You know?
Oh, wow. I guess the crusade carries on, but it sounds like on the ground down there, the shift is upon us, eh?
Yeah, that's right, and it's just a new stage. Now we have the focus on one bill, right? And it actually increases the pressure on the government bill.
True.
Because now there isn't another one floating about that they can deflect that pressure to. Mm. So all the changes now have to happen through that bill. Parliament has decided they've kicked out Chloe's bill, and there's now just this one, and so therefore any changes that need to be made have to be made there. And we know who was responsible for it. It was the National Party and New Zealand First who block voted against it. Could I also say David Seymour gave the most amazing speech I've ever seen him give. It was phenomenal.
Cool.
Channeling Richard Preble or something. Not that's a good thing normally, right? But it was. Normally I just see the H on his forehead, like Rimmer from Red Dwarf. It's like, but The H faded with that speech, man. You should check it out. It's up on the Parliament website. He's phenomenal.
Cool.
It was really good. So, yeah, just one of those days that it was really good to be down there and see it, you know.
But good man.
Chloe was saying, now's the new phase. And with this tight time, like, I really do think they're going to be on a tight timetable.
Mm.
We're not going to see this sort of farting around for ages. This is going to be, the select committee is going to be taking submissions within a few weeks. You know?
Cool.
And I think we'll have this properly done and dusted in law by the middle of the year, you know. Then it's all the regulatory, you know, getting the regulations right for the industry, which might take a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah. How do we grow it? What do we do? All that kind of
stuff. Yeah, yeah. And you know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Just look at somewhere like Canada and just go, bam, there it is.
Yeah,
you know,
perfect
done.
Day.
Get
yeah,
on
exactly.
with it.
We're that far behind that there's plenty of models we can rip
exactly,
off.
Exactly, yeah. We're no longer leaders, but we still have this opportunity, you know, like, because New Zealand's like, you know, like if you think of our wine and you think of the
our produce is fantastic.
Oh, mate, everyone's going to want some New Zealand medical cannabis.
Right on.
Everyone's going to want that.
John, anything to add, mate, last minute? And was there anything, Chris, that anything else we need to touch on?
I saw on the internet an article about two Kiwi gentlemen who run Kiwi Seeds in the Netherlands.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But I think we should should we cover that next week in a bit more depth?
Yeah, if you want. I'm not really sure of the article, but I know the guys.
Okay.
Great guys.
Okay.
With their Kiwi weed. It's awesome. They've won some cups. I was at a cup that they won, and I was the only person to cheer. Eh? It was like a silent room, and
where
me going, yeah!
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for coming up. Always
all right,
pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks again to Chloe.
That was Marijuana Media.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.